How y'all doing? All right. I'm doing all right. It's going to rain. That definitely could be the Holy Ghost. You know that? Y'all need rain, don't you? Seems like. This thing's pretty tall, isn't it? All right. Yep. Well, I'm going to have to pray with you, so I'm going to have to ask you to stand back up again, if you don't mind, please. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for every person that came out here. I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the Holy Ghost rain. I thank you for the river of God to flow through here. In Jesus' name. And I tell you, God, we rebuke the devil by the blood of Jesus. We call the devil accursed and out of here by the power of the gospel. The name of Jesus will not be refuted nor stopped. But the name of the devil will be, in Jesus' name. So be it. In Jesus' name. Would y'all sit down, please, get your Bibles? Ms. Hogan, you better come up here, I guess, and say hi to these folks. Here's you a thing to talk with. Don't be nervous. I'll help you. You need help? Okay. This is my wife, Ms. Hogan. Yeah.
Hello. I just want to say God bless you. It's a privilege to be here. It's a long way from the jungles of Mexico. Quite a different culture here from there. But it's a blessing to be here, and we're anxious to see what God's going to do.
All right, that's good. Have a seat over there. Yeah. Okay. All right, we're going to have to do something. The other night I was in a tent for several days, and I got something out of this amplified book right here. If y'all will, turn to 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to have to talk about it just a little bit. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, so for some of y'all that are got religious devils, I'll be in the King James in a minute. Hallelujah. I've actually had lots of preachers check my Bible to make sure it says authorized King James in the front. So I had to say that to you. Is that all right? Because we're going to talk about something right now that has nothing to do with, that has nothing to do with the book that you're in. It has to do with the heart you have. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I really like the gospel. I like the name of Jesus. Here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. 1 John 3, 22. I'm going to read it out of this Amplified book. It opens it up just a little bit broader. It says we're starting to get loud here. It says, and we receive from Him whatever we ask. Does y'all's Bible say that? You know, church, what I asked for when I first went to Mexico was souls. I want people born again. I don't want to preach if I can't get people born again. There's no reason to. There's no reason to be stiff. There's no reason to be stiff-necked. God's not into that. God's into souls. You know that? And so I went down into Mexico, and I was a really young guy. I didn't have any experience other than what I got whenever I was growing up with my daddy, who was also a pastor. But I didn't have any experience. I didn't know what to do about in very many situations. But I'll tell you, when I got out there and I started asking Jesus, He started giving it to me. And then I started finding it in the Bible. I started getting taught by the Holy Ghost how things are. See, whenever we get into a rut, people, we get into a rut. God is not into ruts. God is into freedom. He's into stability, faithfulness, but he's into freedom. And we've got to walk in it. We've got to talk it. We've got to live it. We've got to be examples to the world, or else they're not going to want what we've got. The Holy Ghost, listen to what it says here. We receive from Him whatever we ask because we watchfully obey His orders. There's not a whole lot of people that does that anymore. Did you know that? I mean, I'm looking. I want, if I'm around somebody and I see in them the Holy Ghost and I see in them that they're different than I am and they can show me by the Scripture that I need to be a particular way, I'm going to change. It doesn't make any difference who they are or whether they're a big name or have written books or have a big ministry. It matters that they've been with Jesus. It matters that their heart is turned on to the Holy Ghost. Okay? The Bible says we watchfully obey His orders and observe His suggestions and the injunctions. We follow His plan for us and habitually practice what is pleasing to Jesus. Did you hear me, church? We habitually practice what is pleasing to Jesus. And I must say that most Christians I'm around, I am not your judge. You understand that? Everybody understand that I'm not the judge? There is one judge, and His name is Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something. I get around people a lot that want me to sanction them and to walk with them and to be part of them, but I can't because they do not obey the orders of the Lord Jesus. They obey the orders of deacon boards, of elder boards, of mission organizations. They obey headquarters, but they don't obey Jesus. All right. Now, the reason I'm starting out so strong is because I'm going to finish stronger. because I want us to get touched tonight. I want us to be refreshed, just like those trees out there are being refreshed right now as that cool water's falling on them. The day was hot and clear, and God sent the rain for this afternoon, and the grass is just rejoicing. The animals, everything about nature is right now rejoicing because of the rain that's fallen on it. And it's awesome. Our work right now is in the middle of rejoicing. I left here a couple of years ago. I would have told you then we were in the middle of rejoicing. Because we were and we are. I'm not part of a dead flowing anything. We're not dammed up. We're not stagnant. We are definitely whitewater. We are rapids. We are moving. And it stays clean on the rocks whenever water is flowing fast. Did you hear me? I like that. I don't like it when I get, when all of a sudden I feel in our work that some people are getting a hold of what's happening. I start praying for God to change it so that we don't have a hold of it, so that He's running it and not us. Amen. And He's done that. I may share a little bit with you, but I don't know. We'll see. Because, I mean, the fire of God hit us after I left here. Actually, it was a year Sunday, day before yesterday. It was a year ago on the 27th. I have to admit to you, I can't get over it. I've never seen anything like it, nor have I heard outside of a book. Some people gave me a book. I don't know about books. People give me books all the time. But this book called Revival by Winky Pratney, I got a hold of that thing and I started reading in there. And what I read in several of those chapters that happened hundreds of years ago is exactly what took place with us. And it's scary. It isn't at all under control. It's completely out of control. I don't want control. I want, you know what? Look, go with me to 1 Peter in the King James now. See, I've got written down here some things to talk to y'all about. We've just had a whole series of miracles just this year. This year, see, our work went through a sifting. in the American leadership, and I lost quite a bit of men since I've seen y'all, as far as Americans or Canadians. All right, made room for Australians. So, if you're looking for a job, I don't think he can do it, but you're welcome to come try. Good challenge, huh? So we're going to... But we lost quite a few missionary families, whole bunch of reasons. All right. And I was thinking, I didn't know what was going on. And it was nervous to me. Because the whole world watches our work because we're so radical. We're crazy. I'll go in the face of any guns, firing or not, it doesn't make any difference. We'll swim rivers. I'm crazy. As far as, let me see how to put this bluntly, the religious world looks. I'm viewed as a radical out there in right field somewhere. You know, have conservative ideas in my mind, but do crazy things. All right? And that's true, I do that. If you're standing with me and the devil manifests, we're not going to run, we're not going to take wisdom, we're going to fight him. It doesn't matter if we die. It matters that the devil is charged by the Holy Ghost. All right? So I believe that. I believe that we are all called. Now, you Bible scholars in here, you make sure you tell these people I'm telling the truth when I say this. This is going to be a rough statement. So I'll tell you what, I'll go over and read it. I'm not going to say it. I'll make sure it's read. Here in over in Acts chapter 1. Hold your finger there in 1 Peter. That's where we're supposed to be. But we're already off the little map already. See here, Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "And he said to them, it is not for you to know the time of the seasons which the Father has in his own power." See, when we started losing all these people, I was thinking that I might have missed God somewhere along the trail and was supposed to shift out of there or something like that. You start thinking all kinds of things. Now, the work, the actual work that we are called to do, we're growing by hundreds of new converts every month. I mean, the lowest amount would probably be in a month's time, 150, maybe 200. That'd be a low month for us, for what we as Americans are doing and Canadians. That's a low month, and there is no top. But we're growing by hundreds. And I'm seeing that on paper. And I'm seeing the new villages. I'm seeing all the great miracles. But I'm losing leadership. And boy, I don't understand what's going on. I'm looking at me. I'm thinking, I'm the devil. I've got to have a devil. I can't work with these people. Something's wrong here. Men are leaving because who knows what the problem is. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to stand flat-footed here, this storm's over, and see who the devil is. And so I decided to do that. And I went into the Bible. Oh, it didn't feel good. My flesh was being cut asunder. I mean, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. People have rough things to say about you. I was telling this to Brother Allen. I don't see how you can one minute be a god, the next minute you're a devil. It's the most awesome thing I ever seen in my life. One minute people think you're just doing awesome for God, and then you say something that they don't particularly like, or maybe your daughter dresses different than they do or something. Next thing you know, man, you a devil. I'm out of here. I've never seen anything like Christians now. I'll tell you, it's the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life. And so I was thinking, maybe I am a devil. Instead of just thinking, you know, I mean, how could you be the only one that's right if all these... That can't be. Maybe they're right. But I've got some news for you. They weren't this time. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Jesus has things in power. He has things in seasons. And you might as well get ready. If you're going to let him be in charge of your life and be in charge of your family and be in charge of your ministry, your finances, in charge of your life, he's going to run it the way he wants to run it. And it'll surprise you how much you've got control. It'll surprise the fire right out of you. It did me. I thought, God's got to be in the control. Look at all these people getting up from the dead. How could I have control? But I want you to know, there's parts of this thing that we get our hands on, and we want to run it our way. Did you hear me? Well, if you're seriously looking for revival, and you really, really want souls, you want Australia bowing the knee to Jesus, you can't run God. He must run you. I'm telling you. Do you hear me? And people, I mean, it was awesome to me to find out, because I started looking, and I started finding, and I started going, ouch, oots, eats, God's getting all cut up. And it doesn't feel good. But look at verse 8. You'll receive power when? Everybody knows this. You know this from your inception in the Holy Ghost. You'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has done something to you. Is come on you. And you will be martyrs. Do you know that word right there means martyrs? You Bible scholars, tell them I'm telling the truth. That's what it means. That word witnesses right there means martyrs. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to hang upside down on a tree like Peter. It doesn't mean you're going to be boiled in oil. Some of you might. I probably will. I'm pretty sure I will. I'll probably be, who knows what will happen to me. What are you doing confessing all that stuff on you? I'm not. I know what's going to happen to me. I'm a witness. I'm a martyr. I have a spirit about me that just cannot relent to the devil. And it's a gift God's given me, and I receive it and walk in it. But it brings revival wherever I go. Did you hear me? It's going to stir you up one way or another. You're either going to be totally mad at me and hate me, and that's all right too. As long as I'm telling the truth, I'm happy. Whether you're in agreement or not, that's your problem. It's not mine. Because look, I was in a place called Tlamaya. T-L-A-M-A-Y-A. Tlamaya. And I was up there preaching the gospel like I'm preaching right now. But I didn't have all this garb on. You ain't got to put up with all this junk over there. Just be yourself and be free, you know. You ain't got to be bound up with all this junk. And so I'm standing there. I'm not ridiculing you. I just don't like it. So I'm standing there preaching. And I'm preaching Jesus. And I'm preaching commitment. I'm preaching that you got to suffer for the gospel. If you're going to be true to God, you're going to suffer for the gospel. And it's part of Christian walk. Did you hear me? It's part of the Christian walk. You can't escape it. We try to live in plastic bubbles. We try to hide. We try to act like we're Christians and everything's fine. And nothing's fine, church. Come on. Jesus just wants us to be honest. He's a faithful God, and He wants to touch us. Did you hear me? You see this? We was in Tlamaya preaching, and here comes these guys walking in. I mean, I'm up here preaching, and here they come walking in, and they got a stretcher. They're carrying a person in a stretcher. And they brought that stretcher up there and laid it down right beside where I'm preaching. And I just keep preaching. I just have to. The gospel is more important than anything. The word of the Lord is awesome. And the name of Jesus is more powerful. Hallelujah. You just have to keep preaching. And so I'm sitting there and I'm preaching and I'm looking at this person and they got the one leg's all covered up. And in a minute when I got through, I reached down and moved those banana leaves out of the way. Oh, Lord God, another one of them devils. You should have seen that thing. The leg was completely to the bone destroyed. Do you understand? I could see the bone on the woman. And I told her, I said, man, you need to be born again. She said, I'm not getting born again. She said, those people brought me here and I didn't want to come here. I said, what? You come here, you're sick, I can pray for you and God will heal you, and you don't want to get born again. She said, nope, I'm not getting born again. So I looked at the main guy that brought him in there, and I said, brought her, I said, who are you? She said, that's my wife. I said, why'd you bring her here? He said, because we heard you lay hands on people and they get healed because your God's powerful. I said, that's true, but don't y'all need to be born again? He said, we're not getting born again. We want her healed. And I said to him, I said, wait a minute, wait, you're a little bit confused here. I said, you want God to heal her, but you don't think my God's the real God. He said, that's right. I said, fella, you're goofy. I said, but I'm going to pray for you because witchcraft brought that on your family. And then he almost fainted because I spoke it right out. He shrunk back because you don't talk about that stuff the way I do. It makes people afraid because I'm not afraid of them anymore. I have to admit, when I first went there and they started, they junk on me, I was starting to get afraid of them. But little by little, in the warfare that took place, the Holy Ghost allowed me to gain a spirit of courage and spirit of might to overcome the powers of darkness. And we prayed for that lady all the way, her not wanting us to. Did you understand that? Does y'all's mind conceive what I'm saying? She don't want me touching her, but her husband said, you pray, but we're not getting saved. This is a mass confusion thing. I mean, this will make it. My mind has no concept of what's taking place here. I mean, nothing. Nothing. My mind is completely, completely out of order on this. I don't know what in the world to do. All right. So I lay hands on her. Anyway, she can't move the foot, so she's got nowhere to go. She can't get up and run off because she's crippled. So we lay hands on her in Jesus' name, and nothing happened. And the husband looks at me and he says, why didn't she get up? I said, she's getting up. You just called her home. Get out of here. You're confusing the whole place. So he picks her up, mad. The whole bunch is mad. And as they was walking off, I said, stop a minute. Let me tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is she's going to get healed. And you're going to bring her back here. The whole bunch of you are going to get saved. And then we're going to go start a church in your house. That's what's going to happen. He said, no, it's not. She can be healed, but none of us are getting saved. And there'll never be a church in my house. I said, you're wrong. We'll see. Did y'all hear that? Let me read you something out of 1 Peter here. Chapter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And there's a reason why we have to do this. Because God wants to exalt us in due season. Do y'all understand that? All right. Now, it didn't sound like, by my confrontation with this family, that I was being a very humble fella. According to religion, humility and boldness never get along. Humility and confidence. Now, this is a religious spirit talking. You can't be bold, you can't be confident, and you can't talk about or against sin. That's a religious demon. But I've got news for you. A Holy Ghost-filled person cannot tolerate sin. Do you understand that? Not in your own life and not around you. You'll eventually run off whoever's around you, or they'll become like you. Or you'll become religious and compromise and lose them all. There's not very many options here. The Bible says right here in verse 7, casting all your cares on Jesus because He cares for you. Look at the next verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. We have got to, church, we've got to get a hold of some commitment somewhere. I mean, you're going to have to get stable in commitment, church. We've got to grab it. People are always asking me, Brother Hogan, pray for me that this anointing you've got will be on me. Transfer it to me. Hallelujah. Okay, but what you're asking me for is for a miserable life as a human. You're not asking me for some glorious, high-tech, wonderful, get-along-with-everybody thing. You want to see the miracles, but I'm not sure you understand what it's like to walk with Jesus in a world that hates Jesus. Are you with me, church, or not? I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost wants us sober and vigilant. It says right here, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, looking whom he may devour. Now listen to me. The very next night, when I was in Clamaya, this lady comes into service. We had a conference there. And she came in, and she was, I don't know, they was awesome people. They never even come up and told me she was healed. They just came up and sat down. So without her being on the stretcher, I didn't recognize her. And I'm sitting there, and we had a thing, and all of a sudden I went ahead and preached, and after I got through preaching, I asked for people to come up and get saved, and she comes up. Her husband comes up. Her three sons came up that brought her over there the night before. And the whole bunch of them got born again. Because listen to me, in a 24-hour period, the Holy Ghost grew that lady new meat and new skin on her leg. Did you understand that, what I just said to you? And she was completely healed by the blood of Jesus. But you don't get that stuff without understanding that you've got to be a witness for God regardless of the cost to your personal self. It's not going to come. It's not easy street. It's not just here, take it, you can have it. It's not that away, church. I know it's been dished out that way, but you see, you don't have it yet. In Jesus' name. Look over here in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 10. Sal was in a church in South Mexico. We have a church. I can't tell you much about it because you won't believe me. I can't talk about it. I can't talk about our persecuted church to you. Because you'll never, your mind doesn't conceive how we live. You don't understand that hundreds of people, as soon as they get born again, they get kicked out of their houses, their houses get burned down, their crops get destroyed, and they can never go back. They've been completely banished from their families. Do you understand? No, you don't. You don't understand that. Because you can go home and say, well, I'm glad I don't live there. That's the end of that. That's the end of that. But listen to this. We had 22 families. It's been a year and 2 months now. That got kicked out of a place. I'm not going to tell you any names because just in case these tapes or something gets around to the wrong people. But 22 families are kicked out. We don't have any place for them to go. I don't know if you've ever tried to put up 22 families and feed them and clothe them and that's a lot of folks. It's about 200 people, and there's nowhere to go. But you understand that it's your gospel that got them kicked out. You're the one preaching the gospel and told them Jesus is King. They say, okay, Jesus is King. The next night, they're in the street. No house, no home, no nothing. Church, you got to understand, it's awesome to watch the Holy Ghost flow through. I went down there in, what month was we in Chiapas? This year, what month was it? Was it April? March, April? It was March or April of this year. We was down in Chiapas, and there was a couple of thousand Indians. We had a conference, and there was a few thousand of our Indians came, and we were sitting there. Now, it's just the church is about, I think it's 18 meters wide by 50 meters long, and everybody was standing there, and people went all the way out, and way out to the gate. It was just a sea of, an ocean of people, and you're preaching the gospel, and you start telling them about the Holy Ghost, and directly, the fire of God hit the place. Now, the whole bunch of them are persecuted. There's 2,000 people here. They've never heard a radio broadcast about the gospel. They've never even seen a television. None of them have a television. They've seen them, but they never had. None of them have one. They've never seen a television evangelist. They know nothing about Pentecostalism. They know nothing. I mean, this is awesome, church. They haven't ever been coaxed. They've never even heard a band play like this band played tonight. In their life. They've never heard it before. And the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, God, look at this here. It says in verse 13, there has nothing, no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. How can you preach to 1,000, 2,000 people that have been kicked out of their houses that God is faithful? It's easy. Not one of them are hungry. Not one of them have, they all have clothes on their back. How do you take care of it? I to this day, don't understand, because I don't ever make appeal for money. It don't matter what country we're in, America or anywhere else, I never asked out of the pulpit for money. And God gives us money. He gives us food. He gives us... It's awesome what He's doing. It's awesome what He's doing. And these people are sitting there, and they're sitting there, they're hanging on every word that you're preaching. And they know that I'm going to ask them to bring in some new converts. They know it. Before I ever ask, they know I'm going to say, all right, when I see you tomorrow, I want to see new converts with you. I want you to go and get me some new people so I can preach the gospel to them and so they can get born again. Well, that means they got to go out where these machetes and guns are, and they got to go out there and tell them, you must be born again. Are you hearing any difference to what your life is like yet? This gospel is awesome. And when those people, listen, there were 42 people saved the first day. Did y'all hear that? The first day when we opened up, 42 people, and I'm looking at them come to get saved, and I'm telling them, no, I'm telling them, don't come down here. And they come and running. Because I know what's going to happen. They're going to be kicked out. Their wives raped. Some of them's going to be killed. And it's the gospel. But you got to understand, God is faithful, church. You say, man, you're talking fear to me. I feel fear coming on me. I'm sorry if that's what you feel. You should feel conviction. You should feel honesty. You should feel integrity. You should feel honor. You shouldn't feel fear for standing up for Jesus. You shouldn't feel that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I did not know what God was fixing to do. All the women are on the left. They always are. All the men are on the right. Every tribe we ever go in, that's the way it is. And there's a little alleyway down through there. All I said was, I was praying for these people who just got saved. And all I said, I'm telling you, it had nothing to do with me. God was sitting there. Those angels were there. The Holy Ghost glory was there. And they was just waiting on one word. God, baptize these people with fire. Oh, mighty God. You should have seen it. I wished everybody in this room could have been there and seen that. People that were completely honest, they were... Their integrity was high. They don't know anything about this fire moving, this nothing. They don't know anything about no river. They don't know about no blessing. They don't know about no laughing. They don't know about no crying. All they know about is I'm standing there telling them God is faithful and the fire of God hit them. And it's awesome, church. 2,000 people at one time went crazy. Crazy. It scared me again, and I run back there. I got the missionary that works with me, and he's looking at me. What's going on here? I said, I don't know. You did. I didn't do it. It's not my fault this is happening. It's your fault. So he says to me, he says, do you realize what you've done? I said, I sure do. I know what I've done. I've spoken the fire of God into these people's hearts, and they'll never be the same. And he gets up there on his guitar. He starts playing these because all the musicians are knocked out. We don't have any. And so he starts playing, and I told him, you start playing about the blood of Jesus. I dare you. He started playing about the blood of Jesus. And I was up there without a microphone. And there's pandemonium going on. I mean, it is berserk. Berserk is the right word. I mean, there's 500 women who are stoic Indians. Here's how they worship. It don't matter what's going on. This is them. They won't look at nothing. They just look like this. You say, wow, they need to get free. Oh, honey, you don't know much about freedom. Freedom is not an outward manifestation. Freedom is heart. Hallelujah. Freedom is heart. I got some news for you. God is faithful, and He can do whatever He wants to, whenever He gets ready to. If you'll let Him have a hold of you, He'll just take you to places you've never been before. Hallelujah. And it doesn't make any difference who you are. But see, we are religious. We know how God should move and how God should act. There's some of you in here that's been in this river for 4 or 5 years now. Now y'all know how God should act. How about that? You're turning that into religion now. That's sad to me. But I got some news for all of us. God loves us. He's going to keep working with us. He realizes how we are. He realizes we all want it for nothing. And we don't want to be that martyr, that witness for God. But we all have to realize that He loves us anyway. In spite of ourselves, He loves us anyway. And listen, I went down there to that. They told me because some of these people got saved was in that real hot spot. So they said to me, because these people are born again now, you're going to have to go down there. I said, let's go. That's fine. Y'all want a challenge? I'll take it. We went down to this village. And one of the head terrorist fellas is in that village. And he hates the gospel. Did you hear me? He's kicked out all of their kinfolks of his, their cousins. He kicked them all out of the village. Well, he's standing over there with the two or three of his men. And they got shotguns. And they're scary looking when they got their shotguns. And they said that he said he was coming to shoot me. So, listen, I'm not crazy as you think, but I just don't think it's right for those men to scare everybody. I just don't think it's right. If I'm going to die, let's do it preaching the gospel. Let's do it trying to get some kook maniac to get born again. But I'm going to tell you something. If it isn't time for you to go, I'm telling you, God will protect you. Now, that doesn't give you right to jump out in front of a freight train. That doesn't give you right to jump out in front of an 18-wheeler on the highway. That doesn't give you right to go 100 miles an hour in the rain. You're going to die. Did you hear me? But it does give you right to challenge the devil and the principalities and powers because God is faithful. And He wants... Look at this. Look. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I am so thankful for the Holy Ghost. Because I'm standing there, and the longer I stand there, the madder I get at that fellow. There's a small group of people here that I'm trying to witness Jesus to that might want to get saved, but they keep looking over their shoulder. And, hey, I don't blame them. I am not pointing my finger at them. I don't have to live there. They do. I can get back in my fancy truck and drive off. They have to live there. Their kids have to go to school. I'm telling you, Jesus is King. Understand that? All right, so here's what you do. You walk over to the man and you tell him, sir, I mean with gun in hand, wouldn't you like to be born again? Wouldn't you like to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Man, he got mad at me. I thought it was fixing to happen. I really did think it was fixing to happen. But it didn't. He turned and walked off, and I thought, well, he's going to get reinforcements because I guess he thought I was bigger than he really thought I was. So I'm back down there now. He's gone in about probably 15 minutes. Here he comes over the hill with a group of people. And I said to myself, oh, God, And he comes, I mean, he's got me locked in. And he walks straight down there, right up to me, laid his shotgun on the table where I got my Bible in. He said, "I want your God." I said, "Oh, hallelujah. That's good." Hey, not only him got saved, but all of his, that group of people was his family. The whole bunch of them got saved. Guess what else? We started church in his house. Even though all of these people are kicked out, we got church in his house, and we have another 14 families in that church. Are y'all hearing how this is happening? And everybody that gets saved knows they're going to get kicked out. I mean, there's a God. You don't have to be so delicate preaching the gospel. The devil has to back up, church. Listen. Everybody's saying, "Well, we're going to drive them away. We're going to offend them." Lord, if you can do, do it. But for sure, be honest with them. Tell them the truth. Man, if you love them, if you truly love your neighbors or your friends and your kinfolks, tell them the honest truth. Preaching the gospel will not run them off. Preaching the gospel will bring them in if you tell them the truth. Hallelujah. Look at this. Let's run over here. Oh boy, this here thing is out of hand already. Some of y'all are really mad at me. That's okay. Go over to Revelations with me. Chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. And I want to look at number 10. There's a verse here that's just awesome to me. I'm telling you, God is faithful. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you feel or think about. You can of course make mistakes. I have made several. But if God, I mean, I'm telling you, my heart is pure and I'm after those people to be born again. It's not that you just want to go out there and get shot, because I can do that just about in any country I go in. But there's also a time you're going to have to trust in the faithfulness of the Creator. And that's almost every day of my life, as far as I'm concerned. Because see here, I drive down the road and I get myself into more trouble by doing nothing than anybody you'll ever meet. Because I want to lay hands on the sick. I want to confront the devil. I like it. I really don't feel like I'm accomplished if I can't just have a confrontation against the power of darkness of some kind. I've just got to have it. And people tell me, you shouldn't be like that. Your work won't grow. I'm pretty satisfied we have 100,000 converts now. That's pretty good. I mean, let's look around and see who's following you. What are you doing? Who's following you? How long have you been saved? Well, then maybe, just maybe, there's something to what I'm saying. Just maybe. I'm telling you, I'm just driving down the road. I have a tape going, playing in there. I have my air conditioner going. Thank God for air conditioner. Hallelujah. And it's hot outside, a lot hotter than it is here. Lots hotter. Then I'm going along, and oh, things are good. I'm bouncing in my four-wheel drive. Oh, you know, and the music's playing. And in a few minutes, there's some people waiting on the side of the road in this village, and they're flagging me down. So I get out and go see what they want. What do you want? What do you want? I want your God. I don't even know these people. They want my God. Who are they? They're people that heard about, through the jungle grapevine, they heard about the powers of the gospel. They heard about the name of Jesus. And they have a guy with them that is a leper. And they said to me, "You got to come. We can't come around people." So I went with them people, and this guy is awful. Have you seen a leper? Are they awful? to a human eye, you know, to us, to look at a leper, they're scary looking, some of them. So what are you going to do with this leper? You can't coax leprosy off of him. You can't beg leprosy off of him. I wish that method would work. I'd get along with people a lot better. But I'm going to tell you, here's what I said. I said, bring him to church. I ain't praying for him out in this jungle. Well, they said you'd pray for him anywhere. That's true. But you guys are hiding from the gospel. You don't want people to see you with me. He'll take care of you. And the demon, you can't have... I don't see how, really, some Christians, modern Christians, get along because you have more faith in the devil than you do in Jesus. It's scary to me the way some people think. I don't question them that they're saved. I just wonder what they're doing when life... I know what they're not doing. They're not getting ahead, I'll tell you that. Most people... I'm telling you the truth here. Most of us are on ego trips. We got the right rhetoric, we got the right dress, we got the right little hand movements, but we don't have the right heart. I'm telling you, we don't. And the heart of a Christian should safely trust in his master, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all situations, at all times. And the Bible says right here in verse 10, fear none of those things which you'll suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and that you can be tried, and you'll have tribulation. But be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. I'm telling you, I've got the crown of life. It's on me. I've obtained it. That's what sets me apart from certain people, because I've got the crown of life on my possession, and I'm going to bring it to Jesus one of these days. I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. Here, Jesus, I was faithful. I didn't care. I don't care what people's face says. I don't care what their attitudes say. I care about Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, how can you have such a good work if you are so serious? Because that's how I started my first convert. I didn't start my convert worrying about how he thinks I should be. I started him worrying about how he should be to Jesus. Do you understand? And that makes a lot of difference. That makes a lot of difference. And you can build 1, 2, 3, 4, 50, 100, 200,000, 50,000. And you can build them the same way if you don't look at numbers, if you look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus. Because I'll tell you, he's faithful. Now, let's jump over here. I'm going to go back and amplify it to shut up here because some of y'all are so mad you're not listening to anything I'm saying anymore. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. See, it's a simple life. It's so simple, most people don't want it because it's simple. If I would ask you to go out in this rain and run around naked three times, you'd do it if you thought you could get what you're looking for. Something wild, you'd do it. But something like change your heart, something like submit to Jesus, completely give your practice over to the Holy Ghost, something like that, that's all I've ever heard, Brother Hogan. That's something more. There is nothing more. But it needs to be done by the church of the living God. Because there's something to be had by the Holy Ghost, and it's freedom, church. You say, man, you sound like you're preaching laws to us. I'm not preaching laws to you. I'm preaching that you can't be carnal and walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't care how much you roll up front up here. That's what I'm preaching. Look at this right here in John chapter 8. It says right here in verse, 31. So Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. Verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Do y'all see that in y'all's Bible at all? I'm going to tell you something. I wish... See, I am truly privileged to live where I live. I'm not in the pipeline of Christendom. I'm off the trail. of the normal Christian walk. I don't know the latest songs. I don't know the latest name of great teachers. I don't know who the greatest prophets are. I don't know them. Since I've been running around here in the last few months, I've heard some names, and it's some people I know. I guess God's lifting them up. Wow, I'm impressed. But where I live, I know who the local black magic warlock is. I know who the principality is I'm facing that day. I know who the government official is that hates the gospel. I know who the local communist... I know who the local communist demon is that's trying to kill us. Do you understand? Do you understand that? There's a difference in how I think. I don't think what's the latest tape I need to have to impress you when you get in my truck. I could care less if you're impressed in my truck. What I care about when you get in my truck is, do you have the Holy Ghost so that when we get to the village and we're presented with a leper or somebody with ulcers or somebody that has a maimed, got their arm cut off in work today, that we can stick that thing back on, tie it on with a bandana and pray for it, and God will put life back in the thing. That's what's important to me. Well, man, you need to, you know, catch up. I don't want to catch up with some of you people. You don't have nothing that interests me. And don't you be offended at that. You should say, my goodness, if the guy comes out of the jungle and he's this crazy, he may have something. God's faithful. It doesn't matter if you're in Australia, United States, Mexico. It does not change the word of the living God. The truth can set you free. Whether it's a need of healing in your body or your spirit, your mind, your finances, your marriage, I'm telling you, Jesus can make us free. And he can do it now. Right now. Huh. It says right here in verse 33, they answered him. And this is what some of y'all have answered me by looking at me the way you have tonight. Boring, boring. You live a boring life. Oh, you want us all to be like you, Brother Hogan? That ain't what I said. It'd be real boring then. I want us free. I don't want us cloning each other, mimicking each other. I want the truth in us. I want the faithfulness of the Holy Ghost in us. I want the name of Jesus prevalent over our lips. And it doesn't make any difference what kind of clothes you got, what kind of car you're driving, what kind of music you listen to. It matters that your heart is wide open to the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, it'll come. That freedom, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. It'll come. It'll come to you. And we can walk in it together. All of us can. Look at this. It says, Then they answered him, we are Abraham's offspring and descendants and have never been in bondage to anybody. I mean, I'd go through this congregation right now. Are you in bondage? No, I'm free. Hallelujah. But then I talk to you in the prayer line. Oh, man, I got to. List is that long. Keep me from 5 minutes telling me all the devil's harassing you. Doesn't sound like freedom. It sounds like an act of freedom with your lips and with your facial features, but inside you are not changed. Very little. Man, this freedom, this gospel is a change. It changes you. I'm telling you, the other day, a couple of months ago, I was riding along the road. Same story. I hope I'm not boring you with this. There's an Indian there standing on the road. I get out of my truck. I walk. What do you need? My mama's dying. They sent her home. She got holes all in her stomach, bleeding ulcers. Okay. Soup. Run down the mountain, get down there by the river, and there's a little house, just beautiful setting, dirt floor, bamboo walls, grass, just beautiful Indian place. Walk in there. What can I do for you, ma'am? She said, I'd love it if you'd lay hands on me, Brother David. She said, I've been hearing about you a long time. I should have got saved a long time ago when you first came here. I wouldn't have this problem. I said, well, we'll do it right now. So I led her to Jesus, laid hands on her. Now this is awesome. By the time it took me to hike back up to my truck, the lady was healed of bleeding ulcers. Isn't that something? I like that. That's the gospel.
That's freedom of the gospel. That's the name of Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. I wonder how many times I've said it in my life. Millions. Jesus. That's all I ever talk about. I've got nothing else to say to you. Jesus. Brother Hogan, I need this, this, this. You know, Jesus. Well, Brother Hogan, I need this, this, this. My marriage, this, this. Jesus. Well, you know, I got cataract. Jesus. Well, I'm crippled. Jesus. 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 I lost my job. Jesus. My kids are bad. Jesus. I need help. Jesus. Come on, demons, let's stir it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. 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 That's right. It's Jesus. And I like it. And I like it a lot. Jesus. And it says right here, and I've got to read it. Jesus answered him. Jesus answered him. He said, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, whoever commits and practices sin is a slave to sin. So I just can't come in here and preach you some little jumpy thing and say, let's get touched by heaven. Church, I want to preach something that'll stick on you either with madness or bring you freedom. And that's what I'm here to do. I'm telling you that because it works. I wasn't long ago in a service. We had three drunk men that harassed me a lot more than I'm being harassed tonight. Had three drunk men. Three. And they were gone. I don't know where they were, but they weren't with us. And I would be walking back and forth preaching, and they would walk right behind me, repeat everything I said. Yes. The goofiest mess. I hate it. But it's a lot of fun because in a minute, when I got through preaching, they at least heard the message three times before. You know? So hopefully they got it through one of us. It doesn't matter if it was anointed, you know. It matters if they heard. Sheesh. In verse 35 it says, now a slave does not remain in a household permanently. Did y'all hear that? The devil's out to destroy you, kill you, hurt you, maim you. Jesus is out to give us life. I'm telling you, you have got to submit to the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. You got to let the name of Jesus come on you. Hallelujah! You got to be slave to no man and to no demon. You got to be servant to Jesus. He is Lord. Do y'all know that in James and John chapter 15, he says, I call you no more servants, but I call you my friend. Do y'all know Jesus said that to us? Man, I've got one or two friends in the world. Because I have studied this Bible, and I found out what Jesus, how he loves me, and what he means. When Jesus said, I want to be your friend, there's very few people love you like Jesus does. My wife does. You didn't know I know that, did you, Miss Hope? My wife loves me like Jesus. And she knows my faults. She knows my mistakes. And she's still with me anyway. Did you know Jesus knows my faults? He knows my mistakes. He loves me anyhow. Isn't that something? Can you believe he would do that for me? Look what it says right here in verse 36. It says, so if the Son liberates you, listen to that. If the Son of God liberates you, oh, Jesus, makes you free men. Oh, come on now, Holy Ghost. We want to be free tonight. We don't want to be bound up by no religious demons, no matter what their names are. We don't care. Oh, those three, I forgot to tell you. Oh, what's wrong with me? Those three men that were following me back and forth across that, it wasn't very big little pasture there. Had all the people standing up there under a little brush harbor. Y'all know what brush harbors are over here? It's where you cut down a bunch of trees and take the limbs and make a roof where you can be out of the sun. You don't stop the rain, but it stops the sun from burning you up. And so we was all under that. And these guys, I turned to them, I said, now then, you must be born again, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Do you know what happened to them? Who can tell me what happened to them? All three of them sobered up and got born again in the twinkling of an eye. Drunk men. Drunk men. I'm telling you, the gospel is more powerful than the wine of this earth. I'm telling you, the gospel is more powerful than any demon, no matter how mocking. Jesus is Lord. You understand? I like it myself. The Bible says, so if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free. And I want you to know, church, that really is all that's wrong with me. There's no question about my freedom. I really like it, and I enjoy it, and I don't allow things to bind me up anymore. It's very rare that somebody can intimidate me or get me bent a little bit. Now, it still is possible. It still happens. I'm a human. But I'll tell you, the length between them is getting longer and longer. It feels so good to be free. Oh, man. It feels so good to be free. It feels so good because this happened just the other day. I was telling this over in that tent. I can't get it across. I can't say it enough. I don't have the right words to tell you. When a mother walks up with a little baby, it's a little bundle, okay, wrapped up in that linen stuff. Is it linen, Miss Hogan? Manta? Linen? Is that muslin? Muslin. Okay. And when they bury their dead, they put them in their grave clothes and they wrap them up real tight in that, like a mummy kind of like. And then they wrap them in a blanket. And she walks in. And of course, I'm preaching like always. She walks in and she walked right up to me and handed me that bundle of dead baby. Church, listen to me. Please hear me on something. You might be mad at me for saying those hard statements. That's fine with me. But don't you miss out on freedom because I disagree with you on some statement. You understand that? I can live with you, but the problem is you have a harder time living with me. Did you know that? See, I live with you, and I work with you, and I have patience with you, and I try my best to not get you too mad at me so you'll keep coming back and maybe in a minute God will slam you. And I keep, and people call over to Brother Allen's and other places I met, and I'll pray on the phone, and I'll talk, and I do, and I really do try to understand. But it's few people that will look at me and say, I'm going to listen to you. I don't agree with you, but I'm going to listen to you because the Holy Ghost is evidently here. See, it takes maturity to be able to do that, church. And a church that's mature is the one that'll grow. It's the one that'll have the power of the gospel. Do you understand that? Now, I'm holding this little baby. It's a little dead thing. And the mama's there. And I don't know who the daddy is, but the mama's just sitting there just like this. Because it's against Indian regulations for her to come interrupt me, being guest that I am. Especially who I am to them. She has not the right to do that. She stood serious punishment to interrupt me. Y'all don't understand that. But anyway, that's the way it is. And I took that baby and I start walking back and forth. I'm through preaching now. Now I got the baby, see? It's a little dead baby, still been that way for 8 or 9 hours. And I start praying with that baby. Oh, Jesus, have mercy, Holy Ghost. Come on, Jesus. Pick it up. Lift it to God back and forth. Just walking around in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, listen to me. When that little leg kicks, it's awesome. See, it's awesome. I'm telling you. You can take a lot of criticism after that. And it doesn't affect you. People can walk. I've had people in these last over here already coming up to me. You know, I agree with this, I agree with that, but let me tell you something. I do not agree with this, 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 and this. And I just smile at them and go, Shandai. Hallelujah. Because I know what they preach don't work, and I know what I'm doing is working right now. And there's a big difference. You hear me? Come on, church. You hear me? And that doesn't make, look, hey. See, if you ever get to hand the baby back to the mother because you took the blanket off and the muslin off. Muslin, is that right, muslin? You take it off, and you got this little live wire of a thing in your hands now. It's whack, 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 you know, and oh, the mama's crying, everybody's happy, oh, everybody's cheering, thank you, Jesus, she grabs it, whoosh, puts it to rest, yes, thank you, Jesus. That's a blessing. It's awesome. I mean, I'm just standing here, because it doesn't matter how many times I've seen it, and I've seen it a lot myself now. It's awesome. It doesn't matter how many times I go to church and they come bring me somebody that was dead and I just stand there. Because it's an awesome thing because God, listen to me, God's the only one that can create life. Devils, it's proven scripturally, can do all sorts of wild things and can match us on a lots of stuff. But there's something they can't match us on. On the faithfulness of a creator, God can bring life. Demons can't. Come on. And I like it when I'm... You know what? I never do feel a lightning bolt. I don't feel a lightning bolt. You'd think you'd feel a lightning bolt. You'd think your hair would raise. You'd think that you'd start laughing. You'd think you'd roll on the ground. You'd think a lot of things would happen. That's not what happens to me. What happens to me, watch, I'll show you. Every time. Just like that. I am in awe. I just, because I know me. God knows me. I am a human. I am frail. I have mistakes. But Jesus is faithful. Church, He knows you as you are. Don't try to be as I am. Try to be as Jesus is. Don't try to be, I'm telling you, He's faithful to bring us all. We can have it, church. We can be free. We can be unquestionably free. We can. Would you stand up with me, please? In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Okay. I've got to do something here. I've got to look and see if there's someone in this place that has never, ever had confessed Jesus as Lord. If there's anybody here that has never received Jesus as Lord, I want to invite you, please, 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 the courage that's trying to get into your heart right now, let it in and walk right up here unless we're going to pray with you in just a minute. Is there anybody? Church, look around you. Look right around you and... I'm sure there's people that you don't know. I'm sure there's people you don't know. Look at them and ask them, if would you please come with me and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Would you do that? Would you look around you? Look at me. Hello. Over here. This is what's happening. Would you look at me? And would you look around you now and see if there's somebody around you? See, I want everybody to do it. Because people tell me, man, I want you to show me how to evangelize. I'm telling you right now, look around you. Is there somebody around you? You know, be respectful, be honest, and be friendly. But if there's somebody that needs Jesus and needs to be born again, I want to pray with you. Please. Is there somebody? Would you walk up here with them? If there's somebody here, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's bound to be somebody in here. Yeah, maybe there's somebody here that's got a backslidden heart. Is that how you say it? Backslidden? I don't know it, but I'm not going to be in it. Is there someone here that has a backslidden heart? If there is, would you please come up here to Jesus? And we're going to pray with you. And Jesus is going to set you free. Tonight is your night. In Jesus' name. Is there someone? Please. Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Boy, we had an awesome night Sunday. There was 15 people got born again Sunday night. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm back. Okay. That's an awesome move to come up here and say, I need help. I respect your courage. Jesus bless you. Hold on just a minute. I want to pray with you. There may be someone else.
I am born again,
yes, sir. I understand. No problem. Jesus is going to help you tonight.